My name is Georgia Arnold. I'm the Executive Director and co-founder of the MTV Staying Alive Foundation and the Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility at Viacom. I'm based in Camden, North London. If I could give one piece of advice to my younger self, it would be it's okay to make mistakes because that's how you learn, and also to believe in myself because I don't think I did at the beginning. I believe that it's important to give more than you take.
You're the Executive Director and co-founder of the MTV Staying Alive Foundation and the Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility at Viacom. What does that mean in a nutshell?
It means I've got the biggest business card you can possibly find.
Do you really reel that off every time?
No, I hate it. I basically am paid by Viacom to use their brands to do good in the world, which is pretty cool job, really. And then with the MTV Staying Alive Foundation, I get to work with young people and talk about sex a lot.
That sounds really fun.
It's fantastic.
So MTV Staying Alive Foundation, it aims to raise awareness of HIV. And since 2005, it's donated over $6 million, funded 208 organisations across 70 countries.
Yes.
What inspired you to start the foundation?
I was inspired by someone called Henry. So we had a brand called Staying Alive back in 1998, when we started to make programs about HIV for our MTV audience. Mm-hmm. And we were giving it away rights-free and cost-free to anyone who wanted it or broadcasters, so trying to reach massive amounts of people. And one of the shows that we produced was called Meeting Mandela. Mm-hmm. We took four young people to meet with Mandela on his 85th birthday. Henry, who is from Uganda, lived in a fishing village, HIV positive. His family had been wiped out because of AIDS. Minzin from Burma, who lived in exile in Thailand. And then Guy from Israel, whose sister had been killed by a suicide bomber. And Jemana from Palestine, whose father had been killed by the Israeli army. And the two of them sat there and said to Mandela, "How did you ever shake the hands of your enemy?" But Henry talked to Mandela about how did he find the will to always continue his fight against apartheid. Did he really ever think he'd win when he set out to fight it? Because he was constantly fighting AIDS every day, both personally and on a wider level, and he was beginning just to lose the will. He couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when we filmed with Henry back home, and he lived, you know, very stereotypical corrugated shack, he wrote by candlelight, we sort of looked at him and we thought he doesn't really need that much more than what he's got in order to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so because of Henry, he inspired us to set up the foundation formally. So we give out small grants to young people working in HIV. We give them training, some formal training. We mentor them. We give them the brand to use, and we allow them to come to us with ideas that help them have an impact within their communities.
From that moment, how long does it take to set up a foundation?
Well, we filmed in, I want to say 2003, and the foundation was legally established as a US and a UK charity by 2005. So it definitely takes time, and you have to go through loopholes. The interesting thing about Henry, by the way, is he is living in Canada. Mm-hmm. His baby must be nearly a year old, and he's the vice chair of our foundation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he sits in the room. I always believe that he was a little bit of Mandela sort of passed over to Henry. He's the most inspiring individual you could ever meet.
Well, yeah. How does it feel being surrounded by those kinds of figures? You know, at the end of that day, you must have got home back to your hotel room. What's going through your mind?
On something like that, but actually on a lot of the work that I do, I still pinch myself. Mm. I still think of myself as being, I don't know, that 16-year-old, insecure, introvert individual who, you know, couldn't really string a sentence together. And here I am in a room with Mandela and Henry, who are changing the world in incredible ways.
And what's the MTV Staying Alive Foundation goal? Foundation's goal over the next 5 years?
Well, so next year is going to be our 20th anniversary, which is incredible, which sort of ages me a lot. Wow. As well, because I've been working at MTV for 23 years. So what's our goal over the next 5 years? Well, one of the things that we are looking to do over the next 5 years is obviously to grow, right? So we were talking before about this, about money. Mm-hmm. And we never, as an organisation, we're always striving to bring more money in so that we can give more money out, right? So we want to do more. We want to find more young people who are doing incredible work. But also we're expanding what we're doing. So we're not just focused on HIV. We're a bit broader than that, mm-hmm. looking at sexual reproductive health and particularly family planning.
You were just named as one of the top 9 experts in family planning.
Yeah, well, one of the top experts to watch, and I say it cautiously because I would say that I would embrace if I was being called an expert on HIV, because I think I am in terms of HIV prevention, which, by the way, it's not scientific. It's really easy. You talk about sex all the time, and you can be an expert on it. But family planning is, for me, it's pretty new. I'm learning as much as I am creating content around it. I'm also learning about different methods of contraception.
Yeah, what does it really mean?
Well, family planning is really interesting because if you talk to a young girl who is just sort of on the starting road of her sexual activities, which is hopefully going to continue with her whole life, it's all about how do you make choices that are right for your own body and your own circumstances. So it's anything from condoms, which are great because they protect you from pregnancy and STIs, but through to long-term implants. I mean, when I was growing up and having sex, I was only really ever offered either condoms or the pill. Mm. And the idea of having an IDU, which actually you can put in and it lasts for 10 years, I didn't know anything about that. I'd never used one before. I've only seen one now because of the work that we're doing. Yeah. So there are amazing different ways that a girl can figure out how to use contraception. And so one of the things we're trying to do is make sure that young girls everywhere know about it. The problem, of course, is that the areas where I work in, which is in particular sub-Saharan Africa, increasingly we're going into Egypt, we're looking at India, girls and women don't necessarily have the right to choose. And so that's a lot of our fight, is making sure that we can at least get them the information out there.
What was your first job at MTV 4 years ago?
So 24 years ago, I was a temp for 3 days for Bill Rohde, who at the time was the MD of MTV Europe, which was one channel across Europe. And Bill and I kept in contact, and he kept on saying, you should come and work at MTV. And I wasn't really into music. I didn't know what MTV was. I didn't have cable or satellite. And a year later, we eventually figured out I should come and work as his assistant.
What qualities do you think you had in yourself that sort of made him go, you're better than a temp?
I think Bill and I, we absolutely connected, and still do. He's the chair of the foundation, by the way, so he's the co-founder of MTV Staying Alive. And our minds are on some strange level, which is not necessarily the right level to be on, but we have a very global view of the world. I would say that we have a lot of empathy as well. So without bigging myself up, I think we're very empathetic, and we really enjoy speaking to people anywhere and everywhere around the world. And I think we connected on that level.
And what kind of qualities do you look for in the people that you surround yourself with in the workplace?
Definitely empathy. Mm. And I think it really depends on what job we're hiring for. So the team that I have is very diverse. So we've got British, Nigerians, Ghanaians. We've got someone from Côte d'Ivoire. We've got Flemish, Argentinian, Zambian, Swedish. I'm British. I'm very dull. So very diverse is good. Mm-hmm. But then I love people with personality. I love people who are passionate about life. So one of the questions I ask in an interview is,
ask me.
Okay, I've hired you, and you and I are going out for dinner to celebrate that you're starting work with me.
Okay.
Where are we going, and what are you going to order to eat?
We're going to Novikov. I will get sashimi. I will get some edamame. I'll order one cocktail. then I will review my order with you and then base what I continue to order on your thingamajiggy and I will pay.
Oh, good. Oh, well, you're hired then. No, but it's good because...
I was already hired.
But that's true, yes. But it's good because you find out, like, for me, passion, you see passion everywhere and particularly in food. Right.
Yeah, I love food.
And so someone who says, well, you know, I'll order a salad and I'll, you know...
Absolutely not going to happen.
And I'm not going to hire them.
No.
And it's really interesting. Everyone in my team eats and they eat steak and they eat chips and they have dessert and I love that.
What are your guilty pleasures? Would you say food?
Food. Mm. A little bit of drink.
Mm.
Hot baths.
Mm. Nice.
Love hot baths.
What's it like being a woman in a position of power, which you are?
Okay. I have been pretty lucky throughout my career, and with a couple of minor exceptions, I have had. I've never felt that my gender has had an impact either way. We used to turn up, before we put my picture on our website, we used to turn up to go and visit our grantees around the world, and they would shake my hand and say, we're waiting for Mr. George Arnold. And there was an assumption that I was a man. But we don't do that now because everyone's seen my picture, so that definitely helps things. But generally it has not impacted me, but I think what I'm really aware of is that a lot of the work that I do is focused around gender, and a lot of the people that I work with are not nearly as fortunate as me and are definitely their lives have suffered in so many ways because of their gender. Mm-hmm. And I have no comprehension of that at all. I have no comprehension why a man does not see a woman as an equal, because we are, you know, with the exception of our reproductive bits, which mm-hmm. are really important, by the way, mm-hmm. that they are different, mm-hmm. We're all exactly the same. You know, one brain, one heart, two lungs, liver, and, you know, unless we have something medically wrong with us. And so I just don't understand that.
And what are some of the challenges you face in your job?
Well, I think... the hardest thing when you're dealing, particularly around HIV, well, and also, you know, sexual health in general, is you're talking about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this very bizarre in that, you know, all of us, unless we were created out of a test tube, and there aren't many of us in the world who are,
mm-hmm.
we all got here because of sex. And yet it is the most embarrassing thing to talk about. No. And so, but culturally, it is really difficult to be able to break through that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it goes beyond just talking about sex. So with MTV Sugar, which is a big drama that we produce, we've filmed in Kenya and Nigeria and South Africa. And the South African series is the first time we've been able to have a major storyline with a young guy who comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only been able to do it in South Africa because in most countries in Africa, it's illegal to be gay, and we couldn't get it broadcast. So it's a huge challenge. So being able to deal with cultural issues around the world, it's not just religion, it's just generally, culturally, globally, we are uncomfortable talking about sex.
Do you find you'll just be at a dinner party and you'll be like, oh, I'll have the red wine, so are you wearing a condom tonight or what?
my son, Covey, my son, it drives him crazy. So he's no longer eight, but I went to his school and I asked his teacher if he could take a couple of days off because he was coming to the MTV award show.
Cool.
Pretty cool, right? And I'm standing there and his teacher was like, and she was quite young, and she was like, yeah, that's really cool, what do you do? So I started to explain and Covey rolled his eyes and he goes, oh, basically, miss, my mum just gets paid to talk about sex all day long. And I looked at him and she looked at me and I could see she was thinking I was a sex phone operator.
Ah, I see. Mm,
I didn't put her right. It was.
I can imagine it just comes up in conversation all the time.
All the time, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What would you say is your proudest achievement to date, personally and professionally?
Oh, well, personally has to be my son.
Mm-hmm.
Can I boast?
He's so good looking and so clever.
Oh, is it? Well,
and knows all about sex and how to do it right.
He does know all about sex. He came on a project visit to us last year. We were in Rwanda and Kenya and Malawi, and he had to do a condom demonstration. And it was just before he was going on holiday to Magaluf, and I allowed him to go because he got the condom demonstration right. So I think Covey, you know, he has to be obviously he's not my achievement.
Mascot?
He's,
no, that's yeah.
But he's pretty cool in my life. But I think, you know, how can I not say meeting Mandela, as in the TV show? I wrote to his office just off spec, and I almost fell off my chair when they said, yes, please come and see us, we want you to make the show.
Wow.
It was amazing. So, but you know, MTV Sugar, we discovered Lupita Nyong'o, who went on to win the Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. I will take a little bit of credit, not a lot of credit, but I'll take some of that. And then when you look at the impact that we're having with MTV Sugar, so there's been World Bank evaluation that's done on it, so independent scientific evaluation. They did biomarkers for chlamydia, and among young girls over 6 months, chlamydia dropped by nearly 60% for those who'd watched MTV Sugar.
Wow.
And if you watched MTV Sugar, double the number got tested versus the control group. So
that is incredible. Wow. What keeps you motivated on a bad day? Do you sometimes wake up and think, I can't do today, it's Monday?
No.
Never?
No, really. I never when I wake up, sometimes when I get in the office. Generally, I'm really lucky. Generally, I always have a good time. And I'm also lucky because I travel a lot. So I very rarely do a 5-day week in the office.
Okay.
So it's sort of broken up. If I'm having a really bad day, I'll buy some Galaxy and a bottle of wine and that. Feel better, not in the office, I should say.
Why not?
But that will be my dinner, probably.
Who's going to tell you off?
You follow me on Instagram, it sometimes comes up.
Do you live for your job?
No, but my job is very much part of my life.
How do you get the work-life balance in check? How do you switch off? When do you switch off? Are you available 24 hours a day?
Mobile phones, honestly, it is pretty impossible to switch off entirely, unless I was really well behaved and took my emails off my phone. So yeah. I am available 24 hours a day, but I'm never really called on 24 hours a day. You know, you have to sort of be a little bit more disciplined than I think I was a couple of years ago. But I also, Kobe goes off to university in September, in a couple of weeks, but while he was at school, I would only agree to ever travel one long haul trip a month, which sounds a lot, by the way, but that was sort of, I know, but now I'm like going, oh good, I've got October, I'll do three different trips.
You're gonna go off the rails when COVID leaves you.
Yeah, possibly. So you know, I always left here at 6 o'clock. Or if Kobe was at home, I would leave here at 6, come what may. So I might work at home, but I would leave here at 6.
Oh, that's great. I feel like you also wake up at 6 and maybe do some yoga, have some oatmeal, check the emails.
Right. The only ever time I did yoga, I laughed at the back of the class and got sent
really?
Out. Yeah, I did. But I am a Pilates freak.
Right, okay. Well, it's the same thing, basically.
So I love Pilates. And I have, usually in yogurt now. God, I'm such a stereotype.
What time do you wake up?
5:36. No. Well, 6:30.
What's the first thing you do? Check the emails.
Turn the radio on.
Really?
Yes, and I'm about to get Alexa, and I can't wait because I'm going to say, Alexa, turn the radio on.
Alexa's cool.
Yeah.
Greatest piece of advice you've ever received?
It's okay to fuck up. That's definitely one of them.
But you don't.
No, I do. I just, but I take that as well. I just learn from it. Bill was always good at giving me advice. The one thing sometimes I still have to tell myself is about believing in yourself.
Mm.
Like, and for everyone is trying to see the value that you bring to your piece of the world.
Mm.
And as someone who was very insecure as I grew up, it's something that I've learned as I've got a little bit older.
Well, and now you speak in front of hundreds of people about very important things. Do you get nervous before those moments?
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
It's a good thing to be nervous.
Yeah, and it makes you practice.
I don't enjoy nerves.
No, it's really good. But I find as soon as I open my mouth, I'm fine.
Is there a sort of a procedure you go through before those moments? Do you have a little chat with yourself in front of a mirror or anything?
No, although I do remember when I got my first job, which was pre-MTV, I literally fresh out of, I was going to say university,
Compton.
But polytech, fresh out of Compton, yeah, fresh out of poly, and I went for an interview at this production company, and the guy said, well, when can you start? And I said, well, I'm not working, so I can start now. And he went, great, okay, let's have you start now. And I went to the loo, and I looked in the mirror, and I did this sort of munch scream, because I actually didn't know what I was doing. And I think that if you feel that occasionally, which I still do, that's a good thing.
I have a quote from you.
Uh-oh.
Young people around the world are making lots of mistakes.
What else did I say?
Full stop. That's all I got.
Really?
Mistakes like
and
what?
I don't know.
What's the biggest mistake you've made, personally? I wasn't planning on asking.
I so can't say that.
Okay. That's enough. That says it all, to be honest. But what did you mean? Young people around the world making lots of mistakes?
I have no idea when I said that. I would like to think I ended it with, and that's good because that's the only way you learn.
Great. The media is a tool for positive change. You said that recently.
Yeah, I probably did.
Tell me more.
Well, that's how I have sort of created an entire career out of using the media. I mean, MTV Sugar is, as far as I'm concerned, the best example you can find of a behaviour change campaign using the media, TV, radio, graphic novels, peer education on the ground, digital, social media, in order to engage with our audience and get them, we don't point fingers at them, or wag fingers at them, we don't tell them what to do, we just give them information in a way that they relate to and then can make their own decisions.
What keeps you up at night?
Oh God, so much. Yeah, so I sleep, I'm a really bad sleeper. So I fall asleep quite quickly. I have really vivid nightmares. In fact, I just messaged my boyfriend to tell him I dreamt about him last night, not in a...
It's good, you're killing me.
No, but I just have these really weird nightmares and I put weird people together. So I will stop someone in the office who I've never even spoken to before and I go, oh, I dreamt about you last night. And they'll look at me and they'll avoid me.
And you're like a condom queen as well.
Right,
so.
And they'll start thinking, and I'm like, no, not like that. I'm really sorry, but I dreamt about you and you were in a hotel bar in a towel. But anyway, I have no idea the way my mind works. And then I'll wake up. And I do have a lot of nightmares as well, where I dream in the room that I'm in. So I travel in, so I stay in lots of hotels, but my dreams will always be in that room, wherever I am.
That's mad.
Which is horrible if you think someone's coming to kill you, which I do often. And then I will spend several hours awake and I'll think about everything. I do worry.
But it's not like world issues and
that
doesn't keep you up at night. You do that in the daytime, I guess.
The world is pretty fucked at the moment. Yeah. I mean, in so many ways that I try to keep my thinking to manageable things that I can actually make a difference on, like, have I remembered to put toothpaste on my shopping list?
Oh, that's fine. At least you can switch off.
Yeah.
Let me know if I pop up in the dream.
Oh, I'll let you know.
I would love that. I hope it's a happy one.
Yeah, me too.